Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the second day of June, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is current events, and before we begin that call, we do dedicate it to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shemai, and welcome to the program. Cumri Ambith. And we also will have the phone lines opened up a little bit into the program here. We ask that you use proper manners, watch your language. I also want to remind you that we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's automatically muted until you indicate that you wish to speak. Then you'll be added to the queue. Ella, thank you very much. The sound is coming through, so that's good. Good news. We've been having some shaky internet problems of late, and also cell tower problems, at least down here in the southern parts of Florida recently. So if something happens to the broadcast, or if we're talking on the phone and some of the words and whatnot seem to be skipping, it seems to have been happening in the past week. Hopefully that will go away. But if it doesn't, we'll have to look into it and see what's up. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. We do recommend you look at the Daily Mail page there. We try to update that as frequently as we can, especially with the problem that we're having with email platforms of late. There's some censorship going on there, and they're trying to make it difficult for truthers to get their emails out to like mass mailings and things like that. Yahweh will not allow His truths to be suppressed because we, the workmen, will find ways around what they do. Whatever roadblock they throw up, we'll work together and figure out a way around it. So they can do what they want. It's not going to make any difference. This is all part of the plan, Logos in the Greek language and the Septuagint. This is all part of Yahweh's plan. Everything that's going on, as Ella has put on the blog here quite frequently, that everything going on is under His control, folks. That's what you have to remember, okay? If you find yourself in the arena of fear, doubt, superstition, whatever, you're not in the right spirit. If you have the spirit of love of the Father, and love of your kind, there is no fear, all right? I've been blessed every day of my life, pretty much. I don't worry about dying. A lot of people get obsessed with that, but I don't. I never have. I never worried about retirement. I never worried about when Father says it's time to come home. I just don't worry about it. A lot of people might think that's silly or strange, whatever, but I just don't. Ralph says, did we watch that movie, The Cell? No, because I went and read some reviews on it, and I looked at the trailer and read the reviews, and it does not appear to be something I want to take the time to watch. It doesn't mean it doesn't have value. It's just something I don't know that I'm that interested in. Unless somebody can show me something that was not in the trailer or in the video that the guy did a review on it, because again, I just did not see the value there, so maybe I missed it, but whatever. Let's see, where were we at here? Oh, I'll tell you what. We're going to go to Hosea, because I was reading some things today, and we haven't talked about Hosea in a while. So instead of letting this thing here pick it for me, we're going to go to Hosea. I believe it's chapter 4. Maybe it's chapter 3. Verse 6, excuse me. All right. My memory is, I'm losing my mind. It's either 6-4 or 4-6. Oh, it's 4-6. Okay. I knew it was one of those two. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And, of course, we know that word could just as easily have been used truth instead of the word knowledge. Could have used the word truth. So my people, it doesn't say all people. It says my people are destroyed for a lack of truth or knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you. Okay? Ella says that she started reading the book Cell and said, I won't like it. So, and Ella knows me pretty good, so probably I will not. So again, here in Hosea 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of truth or knowledge because you have rejected truth. I will also reject you that you may be no priest to me. In other words, a priest's job is to represent Yahweh to the people. Right? Excuse me, I got that backwards. The priest's job is to represent the people to Yahweh. Okay, after the coming of Messiah, that was no longer a necessary function or an office. But he says, you will no longer be priests to me. In other words, you have no more office with my authority because you have forgotten your Elohim's law. I will also forget your children. Isn't that kind of strange? Because you have forgotten the laws of Yahweh. I will also forget your children. Now, why do you think he would basically place a punishment on you as far as your children when what he's talking about is your disobedience to the law? Because a lot of the law had to do with protection of the children. For instance, race mixing, cleanliness laws, the fact that you're to care for your children, you raise them up in the ways of Yahweh, etc. So because you have turned away from the truth, turned away from Elohim and his law, I will also forget your children. Okay? It's a pronouncement of judgment against us, the adults, the parents, because we have rejected truth and knowledge of truth, the author of all truth. He, in turn, is saying that you, your children will be forgotten as well. I don't believe that the father actually has to come down and do anything. He's not causing babies to be butchered. He's not causing disobedient children and juvenile delinquency. He's not causing disrespect from young people to their elders. That's a natural consequence of when you walk away from the King of Kings and his law. It's a natural consequence. Just, it's going to burn. No supernatural being has to be involved. It's just the fact. Stick your finger in the candle's flame and you will get burned. Ignore the Creator and you will suffer. And your children will suffer. Take a look around us as everything is disintegrating, and that's part of what the current events is that we're going to talk about. The fact society as a whole is completely upside down right now. Completely upside down. And it's just getting worse because the miscreants, the perverts that are running this cacistocracy are still running it. Where the hell are the good guys? All right, we keep hearing about, well, the Patriots are armed up, we got the militia, we got good guys in the military. Well, what good are they if you're not going to do anything? All right? Doing, not just hearing, right? Be ye a doer and not a hearer only. Isn't that what Scripture says? Be a doer and not a hearer only. And the other thing that they used to have is an adage that said, actions speak louder than words. Actions get results. Words are what precedes action, just as it we have that quote by the founding fathers. It said, if it wasn't for the pen of the author of Common Sense, who I believe was Thomas Paine, common sense was the fiery writings of our founding fathers that they posted on Liberty trees for people to read. So the word, whether spoken or written, the words ignited the flames of liberty within the hearts of the people first. Then came the sword of General Washington, the militia, and the patriots. That's about where we are right now. 1776, Revision 2. About to repeat history because we have forgotten our forgotten common sense, forgotten everything that made any sense to us at all that we were taught. And so now we have this absolute chaos, which is by design, all around us. And the solution, as always, is to get right with our Heavenly Father. It's always been that way. Always. Okay? So, before I get into the things I have scratched down here on the pad, and I didn't have time to send out a notice today. I was hoping people would go to the Listen Live page, but it's pretty obvious that not too many people did that. Looking at your notes here, Ralph. Oh, okay. It's Ralph is saying that the movie Cell is good for predictive programming. Yeah, probably that part of it, but I don't know if I could sit through a whole movie just to get that point made. There isn't much that comes out of Hollywood that I care to partake in, to be honest, quite at this point in time. I mean, they can't seem to produce anything of quality, and they haven't for a long time, but today it's atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Now, I've been in contact with Robert Allen Balakaius. That's it. I couldn't think of how he pronounces it. It looks like a Latin word, but it's actually Lithuanian. And in Lithuania, they pronounce it Balakaius. And he is quite an author and researcher. I'm hoping to get him on as a guest, but I'm going to order some of his material, and then we'll be doing some shows because he does very deep dives into many of the topics that we talk about, and he comes from an identity perspective. In fact, as I read some of the book reviews on his books, I was amazed at how many times he was referring to things that we have talked about on this program quite a bit. So I think it would be a really great interview. But one of the things that in our emails back and forth was the works of one of the men that I admire most in this world that I've met and had the honor of knowing. Though we never met face-to-face, we talked on the phone. I interviewed him at least once, I think twice. But he was a United States Army colonel by the name of Don de Grand Pre. He also had a private pilot's license, so he understood aircraft and and flying, and I'm sure he knew plenty of people that were pilots in the Air Force. So we had commonality there, plus being military. And he wrote a series of four books, and the series is called Barbarians Inside the Gates. The first volume, of course, is... goes by that title. The second one was The Viper's Venom. The third book was The Rattler's Revenge. And the fourth book is The Black Widow's Bite. And this one he wrote and published just before he passed over. I believe it was in 2008. But what I wanted to share with you is the jacket, just what the jacket says. And there's a nice picture of Don in this jacket. If you get a chance to get his books, they are phenomenal. And again, coming from a United States officer, Army officer, I believe he had been stationed at the Pentagon for a period of time, but it was also Colonel Don DeGran Pre's interviews shortly after 9/11 that opened up my eyes almost immediately to the fact that they were lying to us. And my hat's off for his great patriotism and these works of these books, but also for the fact that he had the courage to speak out. His whole life he spoke out against injustice. He was a very strong man, very devout, and very patriotic. Now again, this is the jacket to the book, the fourth book, The Black Widow's Bite, Bush, Clinton, Cheney, Crime Cults, Chaotic Crisis. And it's the fourth book in the Barbarians Inside the Gates series. But let me just read this jacket to you real quick. A dedicated combine of Israelis, Zionists, and neoconservatives backed by equally dedicated Illuminati and blasphemers have been at war with the United States ever since the events known as 9/11 overthrew the United States government by an administrative coup d'etat. That nefarious clique is still in charge. Now, with Ben Shlomo Bernanke, chairman of the criminal Federal Reserve System, also a Jew, and King Henry Paulson, also a Jew, in charge of the printing presses at the Treasury Department, these two Zionist gangsters have assumed complete control over all of our finances, to include the granting of unlimited funds to all of the loyal members of the banking cabal. It matters not whether the adepts are Republican or Democrat. Professor Carol Quigley explained in his book, Tragedy and Hope, that the money power, quote, intended to contribute to both and allow an alternation of the two parties in public office in order to conceal their own influence, inhibit independence by politicians, and allow the electorate to believe that they were exercising their own free choice, end quote. We are indeed living in the kingdom of darkness and in the dank and rotting woodpile of Washington, D.C., where resides the wily Black Widow. Her bite is poisonous, often fatal, and she is known to devour her mate. Friends, we are slowly weaving a gigantic web of deceit and chicanery never before spun in the annals of history, and it is slowly strangling us in an unprecedented series of calculated acts of violence and sheer terror as we struggle to escape its gossamer snares. Who is doing it to us? The once proud peoples of the United States and of Western Europe, especially those individuals who populate the United Kingdom. Who are the web weavers? We will discover that they are a motley collection of people and personalities presently living in three countries, the United States, the United Kingdom, and Israel. In Book 4, we concentrate on the here and now, with special emphasis on the ongoing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the clique of arch criminals who brought about the bloody onslaught of our soldiers and the calculated destruction of a defenseless peoples located halfway around the world. And now, through an inanely crooked, scheme of bailout, the money power is proposing that we dump all the bad debts of the profligate banking community onto the backs of the long-suffering citizens, otherwise known as taxpayers, and start the Ponzi scam all over again, as we did in 1913 with the passage of the misnamed Federal Reserve Act. Friends, we are at war and have been unceasingly since 1913. The major problem is that we don't realize it. We've become so accustomed to being under siege by the enemy that we do not realize that we are in fact in a war to the death. And we are losing not only the war, but our country. We now must define that enemy within, his history, his tactics, and his techniques, chief among them being mass manipulation coupled to physical and psychological acts of terror. The enemy within now dominates 6 of the 7 M's. Money, media, markets, medical, mind, morale, or morals. He desperately needs the 7th M, muscle, embodied in our military and its primary function to defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It is not only the muscle that is atrophying, but the brain and the guts as well, the intestinal fortitude. Ask yourself a simple question. Is such a blatant act of subversion a part of a larger scenario for eventual world conquest? Now, put everything that Colonel Don de Grand Pre said in this jacket, along with what I've told you about United States Air Force General Benton Parton and what he told me personally, face-to-face, back in the 1990s, and to the people that attended the conference where I was at, he gave 3 one-hour lectures about the Oklahoma City bombing. The first one-hour lecture, he presented the same material that he presented to the United States Congress, proving that the official version of what happened in Oklahoma City was a complete and utter lie. He spent the next 2 one-hour sessions talking about the Communist International and how they were infiltrating the Western nations, especially here in America, and that what a grave danger it was to our nation and our people. And when I spoke with him, he said how vitally important it was to wake our people up. And that's what we've been attempting to do since 1999 with this radio broadcast, and before that in giving presentations at events personally. Now remember, he says the enemy within now dominates 6 of the 7 M's: money, media, markets, medical, mind, and morals. They're trying to take over via dismantling the Second Amendment and, through the Pentagon, control of the muscle, which is our military. We've talked about a military coup being absolutely essential, but that's only true if the military is made up of Caucasian righteous men. Righteous Caucasian men are the only ones that make a difference. If they are not in the military, then the current military is not and will not be any help to us. Whether it's in an official military unit or in a civilian military unit known as a militia, working with the sheriffs, wherever the righteous white men are, that's the army that will make a difference. So it may not be the standing army of the United States that will save the day, as General Parton and Colonel Don de Grand Pre were often talking about. It may be an army made up of citizen soldiers or veterans who have left the official military and are now citizens. However, we never are freed from the oath that we took to defend this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Because I'm telling you, no foreign enemy is doing anywhere near the damage that the ones hiding within our ranks, the domestic enemies here. And again, there's a principle in mathematics. If A equals B and B equals C, then you can conclude that A also equals C. So if the enemy within dominates these six M's, money, media, markets, medical, mind, and morals, and they're trying to dominate the seventh, muscle, if you can identify who's trying to do that, you have identified the enemy within. And once again, I don't know how more plainly it can be said than these damnable Zionist Jews and all of their nefarious deeds and all of their money that they pour through people like Soros, also a Jew, Rockefeller, Jew, Rothschild, Jew, Pasteur's Jew, and on and on and on and on it goes. And don't tell me like Pelosi, oh, Diane, she's not a Jew, she's a Catholic. Well, you can put lipstick on a pig, and it's still a pig, okay? A Jew is a Jew no matter what they're pretending to be otherwise. And you need to understand that. Just because somebody pretends that they go to a church or carry a Bible like Clinton did and the Bushes did and everything else, that does not make them Christian. It does not make them friends. It does not make them patriots. It just simply means they're going through the motions to fool you. And unfortunately, the evangelicals of this nation have been bought and paid for. They are whores, as are most of the preachers and pastors and priests today. They are whores. Okay? How else can you say it? When you sell your soul, you sell your body for money, that's called whoredom. And that's what they are. So again, I honor my friend here, Don de Grand Pre, United States Army Colonel. It was a pleasure to have known him. I wish I could have met him in person, but I at least got a chance to talk with him on more than one occasion and interview him. And I've read his books, and he's even autographed at least one copy. That I'm not sure if he did all of them, but I know the first book was autographed by him. And I had the honor and pleasure of speaking to and meeting United States Air Force General Benton Parton, and he got to tell me face-to-face the grave danger we were in. I've dedicated this program for truth and to be a platform for those who have no voice in this world, because the mainstream media, we've known it's been controlled by these enemies within for quite some time. And it's been blessed. It's been a blessing. Yahweh has blessed me more than any man I know. I've had the honor and privilege of meeting so many good and fine men and women and children across this land, and over the years to interview some of the best researchers, authors, doctors, nurses, teachers, scientists, military men, police officers, and teachers of the identity message. We're getting close to the end, guys. I can say that because of things that I've been allowed to see of late. Yahweh will not tolerate what's going on much longer. And it's really pitiful how few people seem to even give a damn. It really is. But the chaos is just mind-numbing. The perversions and subversions of our way of life, of our nation, of our culture, of our history, by these communist, Zionist, Talmudic pigs is beyond belief. And why there is not a revolution right now, I don't know, other than the scripture that says that he would hold us back by the restrainer until the time of the end, when he will unleash the sons of Yahweh upon his enemies. That's the only thing that I can see that would explain the absence of the white warriors taking down these criminals. God only knows we've had enough innocent blood shed. God only knows we've had enough rapes. Not taking a stand. If Yahweh is holding them back for some reason, it's not clear to me murder, kidnappings, all because the good righteous in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. And it is a condition of the white race today to be completely ignorant of truth because they don't love the truth anymore. They'd rather have their ears tickled. They'd rather be told sweet lies. They'd rather live in their little bubbles, believing nonsensical information instead of truth, just like this whole COVID lie, just so they can keep their job, they can keep their trinkets, they can keep their material things. They have no character. They have no intestinal fortitude. They have no integrity today, the average white person. And again, the other races don't even fit into the equation. They're getting away with what they're getting away with because the white man has acquiesced to the Jew, and the Jew is using all of the weapons at their disposal to bring down the world order. So out of that chaos, they will become the masters of the world. It's quite simple what they're trying to do. Communism is just the vehicle. It's actually Judaism. Communism and Judaism are almost identical. Okay? If you read the Talmud, you'll find all of the sick, perverted shit that we allow in our society is contained in that book. That's what always cracks me up when people say, well, Dan, I know some really, really decent Jews down the street. They seem to be conservative, and they really, I don't want to hear it. My people. He doesn't say everything on two legs is his people. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. He created this world, but he never called every single person his people, ever. He has conditions. He bestowed upon Jacob the rights and the covenants and privileges, and his descendants, the Israelites. Whether you like hearing it or not makes no difference. There's even a section of white people that don't fit that description. You do know that, right? There are children of Abraham who are not considered his people. Doesn't mean they can't be blessed if they're obedient, but they are not part of the crowd that gets the message. Do you ever wonder why some white people look just as brain dead as all the rest? Do you ever wonder why there's some white people that you can talk to about these truths and they just don't get it? No matter how many books you put in front of them, no matter how much logic, no matter how many scriptures, they just don't get it. Could it be they're not Israelites? They're white. They got the Adamic blood, but they Father. That's why he said, you are my people, my peculiar people, which is Keltoi in the Greek, and where we get the word Celt today. His peculiar people who carried biblical truths and lived biblical truths as they traveled out of the land of Palestine all over this earth and have been traveling on this earth for many thousands of years. Well, they have distorted our histories, the world histories, and particularly our racial histories, to the you really don't, folks. You better be on your knees or wherever you go to pray, whether it's laying on your bed, on your knees, or even standing up. Doesn't matter. Father can hear you wherever you're at. But you had better be talking to him and begging him for his guidance at this time. You really, really need to do that. Now, it reminds me when I was with Eurofolk Radio, when the broadcast producer, Paul, and I were in a discussion, and he was telling me about a United Kingdom agent. He was a secret agent. He was like a 007. Now, one thing you have to remember, he said the movies called 007, those characters aren't anything at all like the real guys, okay? Hollywood couldn't tell you the truth if you put a gun up in their head. What he said was that, yes, a 007 or a high-level spy is trained in a lot of things, and he was tough as nails. That's why he was recruited. And even in his 70s and retired, he's still a pretty tough character. But the one thing he said that I noted with great interest was that when he was first recruited, he and all the base, an abandoned World War II airfield underground, and for 2 months they were locked underground because they were told that if you're going to be an effective spy at the level you're going to be at, you need to know the real history of the world and how it works and who runs it. Now think about that hard. You need to know the real, true history or historicity of the world and how it operates. Because everything you were taught in these brick and mortar institutions we call public education is a lie. Especially when it has to do with culture, race, and our ancient history. And I would dare say that there are probably, under the Vatican and in other hidden away places, many of the sacred writings of our ancestors that we should have available to us that have been hidden from us because they dispel the narrative of the New World Order. That's why, again, you've got to go to extra-biblical material, and you need to be talking to the Father directly. Now, that's the good news. If you're healthy enough that your pineal gland works okay, and you have enough stamina and intestinal fortitude to where you're willing to admit that you're a sinner, that you have fallen short of the goal, and you need His blessings and forgiveness as a father is wanting of his children. I loved it when my children said, "Dad, I made a mistake. You told me to do something and I didn't do it." And they repented. Okay? That was a beautiful thing. I didn't punish them because of their mistakes. I didn't hold it against them. I didn't browbeat them. If it was a serious offense, yeah, of course it had some kind of punishment with it. But the point of it was that if they repented, I was willing to work with them. My goal wasn't to make them feel pain for the sake of pain. It was to teach a lesson so that they would not do it again. Our earthly families are built upon the premise of how we are in relationship with our Creator. And when you get to that point where you can seriously put yourself in the position of the weaker vessel, because we like to think we're badasses. We like to think that we've got it all figured out. We like to think that we're tough. So we have a hard time with this bending the knee to our Father. But if you can do that, if you can say, Father Yahweh, all right, I give up. I can't control this world. I can't control my destiny. I need help. I can't figure all this stuff out. There's information coming at us from every direction, much of it conflicting, and it's on purpose. And we can't trust everything in the books that they gave us, the Catholic Church. We can trust a lot of it, but there's some things in there that really deserve a harder look at. I know deep inside what you expect of me. Would you forgive me for being such a pompous ass, thinking I'm better than anybody else, thinking that I'm somehow special, that I don't have to do what everybody else does? I don't need salvation. I don't need your forgiveness. Would you wash me in that precious blood, whether it's literal or figurative, of our Father? Wash away all of that dross, that filth that's within me. Wash it away. The doubts, the fears, the evil thoughts, and make me a new creature in your image, and not the image of these miscreants and cretins that walk around us, these zombies. Make me a creature that resembles you, because I know the time is short. I know Satan's wrath is great, and he will take down as many souls with him as he can get. I don't want to be one of them, Father Yahweh. And I don't want my children and the people I love to be taken down either. Help me be the man that you want me to be. Whatever the task, and whatever it takes to make me that man. Now, if you prayed that to your Father when you was a child, or you said it to him, do you think he would turn you away? He sure as hell wouldn't be much of a father if he did. At least he wouldn't have been like my Father. So what makes you think that if you will go with contrite heart to the living God, our Heavenly Father and Creator, and earnestly seek His forgiveness, His protection, and His guidance, what makes you think He wouldn't give it to you? What makes you think His goal is to turn us over to these miscreants that are running around, when it clearly states that we are His battle axe and His weapons of war? When it clearly states that when we come together in one accord, there is no force upon this earth that can harm us or stop us. None. The enemy's job is to convince you that you can't win. The enemy's job is to convince you that they have already beat us. The enemy's job is to convince you that your Father is more than happy to turn you over to them. I say no. I've lived my life with the idea that I may see 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 at the other, but it's not going to come onto me. Oh, there may be some persecutions here and there, but you know what? Those generally turned out for my benefit. I learned a valuable lesson, or I was humbled where I was too proud. I created my own persecution. Had I been wise and walked in the ways of the Father completely, those things would not have happened to me. Do you see what I'm saying? The Father loves us more than any man will ever love you, or even woman. He cares about His creation. He cares about this earth. And a lot of people, is He, or is it you and me? sitting on our asses, bitching and moaning, but not willing to drop our backstabbing, our gossiping, our all wanting to be a chief instead of an Indian, to where we can't work together? Is it us that's the problem, or do you really think it's him? You don't think Father could end this tomorrow? He could. The good news is that, from my perspective, all of the righteous are going through this fire. Yeah, it's ugly to watch it. It's ugly, and I'll admit that. It's ugly. But we are going to come through it. I'm more convinced now than ever. We are going to come through this. Somehow, some way, it is going to work out for our benefit. As long as we remain overcomers and do not allow the wicked and all of this negative energy and all of these Debbie Downers and all of the doomsdayers out there, you do not allow them to take away your power. And the enemy knows the strength that you have when you're in agreement with him above and in agreement with each other. He knows your power. It's awesome. And it can bring down strongholds. I like that adage that I read some time ago. I don't even remember who put it out, but it says when a few buildings and little parts of a town, when white men get angry, we burn down empires. The only thing that needs to happen to stop the insanity is for the white men to decide it's time to put an end to it and stop playing games. Stop acting like these people in Washington or the state capitals are our masters. Stop acting like they're gods that we must obey, when the reality is it's the other way around. They work for us, and when they do not obey our Creator, they have lost their right to be in government. They are interlopers. They are operating under the color of law, which is tantamount to being spies or traitors. Doesn't matter which, because both of them get the same punishment. That's the facts. That's the facts. So, what's going on currently? Well, they're trying to get us into a war, obviously. I don't listen or pay attention to any of the mainstream bullshit stories about what's going on, because I was in the Air Force during Vietnam, and they never told us the truth about any of that either. Just as my father was a young man and I was on the way when the Korean War broke out, and they lied about that. And before that, my grandfather was a Marine in World War II, and they lied about that. My Uncle Brownie was in the trenches of France during World War I, and they lied about that. And on it goes. Food. Food, people. I'm reading more and more and hearing from people that I know the prices are going up for two reasons. One, we're starting to see scarcities in certain areas of food production, and we just lost a processing plant in Canada that supplies, I was told, close to 20% of the meat that we eat. It might have been pork, 20% of the pork. I'm not sure if it was all meat or just one category like pork or beef or something like that. But a significant amount, and they shut it down. They claim it was hacked and all this other stuff. But again, bullshit stories to cover up what the cabal is up to. The point of it is you're not going to see the quantities of food on the shelves in certain categories at this time that you're used to seeing. It's already happening, okay? It's already happening. The other reason that the price is going to go up is because of inflation. You can't print digital shekels in the amount of trillions of dollars and not have it affect the inflation rate in your country? I mean, folks, that's common sense. So they're deflating your value of your dollars that you're holding. It will buy less, and there will be a scarcity of the commodities, which will also drive the price up. So between the two of them, we could potentially see escalating prices. All the more reason for doing two things. One, we've talked about doing, getting back to the basics and doing like a standard prepper in a Boy Scout. You should have a full pantry, folks. Whether you got a basement, a pantry, whatever, it should be stocked full all the time. And you better have some supplies put back. Some extra clothing, some extra bullets, weapons, canned foods, ways to produce water, all those things. You need to be putting those away now more than ever. And again, I told you what the military people told me. 3 months is a minimum. That is the bare minimum that you need in your house. I can't say it any plainer than that. If everything, and I mean everything, including water, electricity, gas, all of it, shuts off tomorrow, can you stay hunkered down and survive for 3 months? Folks, that's not that long. Okay? It's really not that long. Three months. Thomas Chittum told me in an interview after he wrote that book, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of the United States, he said 6 months would be phenomenal. He said, you got a good chance of surviving with a three-month supply, but if you can get it up to 6 months, he said, I can pretty much guarantee you're going to be okay. Unless you're in a dead center of a hot spot like in downtown Chicago or New York or something like that. If you're out in the boonies and you're able to hunker down and just stay put for up to 6 months if it's needed, then you got a good chance. For one thing, you're not going to be out there with all the starving zombies, okay? Stay hunkered down. And of course, you better have a way of protecting yourself. Better have it. And also the fact that they're trying to put pressure on us with in the job market. I'm hearing from a lot of people having tough, especially white men, but even the ladies, having a very tough time. And, of course, we know that they are flooding us with non-white immigration, flooding us. And we've got a caller here. Area code 208, you're on the program.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian from Idaho.
Oh, I know.
Just a sec, I'm in the basement, so I'm getting myself out of the basement so I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get a better reception when I'm upstairs here.
All right.
Can you hear me all right now?
Ed?
Okay. Hey Dan, this is Brian from Idaho.
Hey, I'm lost.
Dan, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay. I should have a good reception now.
At the moment it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm about 13 miles from the Tetons on a ranch right now and it's a resort.
Uh-huh.
I just want to make sure you can hear me. I traveled from Denver down to southern Colorado, and then I got a job up here in Wyoming, right in the Tetons at a little ranch. And I'm sitting here watching the sun go down right now.
How are things out that way?
You know, it's been unmasked all the way from Denver to southern Denver, or from southern Colorado down into Arizona, and then I went up through Utah, and they were all taking their masks off.
Excellent. Sounds like the vast parts of Florida at the moment. A lot of places are unmasking.
Yeah, there's been we got 40 rooms here, and we've been busy the whole time I've been here. I've been here since like May 10th, and every day we're full here. We got a little restaurant here, and man, there's probably 100 people that go through there every night.
And things are pretty much same instead of the COVIDiocy going on.
Yeah, it's that's one thing I want to do is I want to thank the military, because I've had hundreds of military men and women pick me up throughout the years, and they've taught me everything they know. So I've gotten vast amounts of knowledge from military people throughout the years.
Uh-huh. And what are they saying about what's going on?
Well, it's kind of like I met a Vietnam veteran a few years ago in Yellowstone. He's probably about 70 years old. He rode around on a Harley. He says, "These damn ravens keep unzipping my bags." And I says, "Oh, yeah." I says, "Well, what do you think about the government? We already know what you think about the ravens." He says, "It's all a bunch of bullshit, and it's just everything's corporatized, and, you don't know what the hell's going on anymore." So just one example of, a Vietnam veteran, he knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. Most of the Vietnam vets I know are pretty awake.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, this, when I went through Colorado, I had several Indians pick me up, and I had a few people from out of town pick me up. And just about all of them that I talked to agree that, that things have to change. And, like when you and I did that interview of the ranches and stuff like that, I practice what I preach. I'm on a ranch right now in the middle of the Tetons, about 45 miles from Yellowstone. There's firefighters that come through here, cowboys that, do horse rides and stuff like that that come through here. So it's, what I'm saying is this is the beginning of stuff. You have to get out on the land.
Right. Right. That was one of the points I was going to bring up, is that we need to not only get the basics put away and some supplies, but we need to get back to family farming.
Yeah, it's pretty good here. I associate myself with all the cooks here. They cook really good meals for us. We'll have like ribs and bison and salads and stuff like that, and so we eat pretty good here. In the morning times, you can order like biscuits and gravy, or bacon and eggs and ham, or pancakes, whatever you want. So they feed us well here. You're not going to starve out here on the land.
Mm-hmm. So what's your general consensus? People are waking up or not?
Oh, yeah, they're waking up. It's like I was telling you, man, I've never seen so many people traveling in the past year. People are getting out, and they're going and, finally getting out of the cities and going and seeing the land, and driving
right
through it. And, they got their side-by-sides and their four-wheelers and all that stuff that they go out on these trails out here everywhere, man, in Utah and Colorado and Wyoming, Montana. I mean, more and more people are, they're still in their vehicles, but at least, we can get them out of those four-wheelers and that kind of stuff and get them to soil on the ground and that kind of thing in the future.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If they're open to learning what's going on and the truth, then, yeah, they can be worked with. That's true. Yep.
Yeah, it's a process. I mean, we don't all just learn things at once. All the sins we practice throughout our lives, and then we come in the kingdom, it's like you unlearn all that kind of stuff, and it takes time because you're still in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, history. I look at it as, history is his story. King David had a story that Jehovah spoke through him, and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So when he's writing stuff down, he's writing that down in the presence of a spirit that's writing it down through him, you know. So when it's his story, a lot of times it's the stuff that, you know, oh, he's already been through some of these things, and it's going somewhere in the future that he's going to have to experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
You know, you got a story, I got a story, all of us have a story, you know, we just need to put the gospel in it and, you know, be lights and shine in this evil and darkness and get ourselves, you know, upright. And that's a process that takes time, you know. It usually takes 40 years, you know. That's why the Israelites always were, you know, going through 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight, that's for sure.
No. And I'm glad, because I want to experience it. You know, it's as hard as it can be at times, just seeing the beauty of nature. And I'm sitting here looking at all these pine trees. I'm sitting in front of a fire pit. Got these, you know, there's usually probably 20, 30 people that come out here and talk, you know, after work. And, you know, we all get together like a fireside thing, just have conversations.
Wow, you mean they're not all on their cell phone?
Well, you know, they've got their smartphones that they use, but not while we're out here by the fire and stuff, and, you know, drinking a beer or something.
Uh-huh.
Just getting to know each other, because you got, you know, several ranches surrounding this area. There's dozens of them out here. So you got people that'll come from, you know, 2 miles down the road or 10 miles down the road, and they just all get together at various times.
Yeah. When I was a boy, we used to do that on the farm a lot. Just build big campfires and just go out there and roast marshmallows and sit and chat all night long.
Yeah, it's just, you know, steering conversations that are tough to talk about. Because a lot of, you know, I work with a lot of young people in their 20s, and they want to laugh and giggle and play and have fun and those kinds of things, which, you know, I understand. But at the same time, I got to inject some truth and some, you know, understanding and knowledge and some wisdom and, you know, at least put those kind of things in their minds and also let them laugh and giggle and play and have fun. So it's, you know, like a balancing act.
Exactly. Yeah. Generally they don't pick up things if you try to cram it down their throat. You gotta be a little wise in how you present it to them.
Well, the younger generation, they want to, you know, drink every night and stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I went with about five of them the other day, about 10:30 at night in a van. And we went and seen this other ranch that was close by here. And we chased this jackrabbit, or this hare was running down the road, and we had the light shining on it. And so it's just kind of running in front of us for, I don't know, a mile or so. It was kind of a, you know, funny little trip. This rabbit just would not get off the road.
Hello?
Yeah.
You broke up there a little bit. You were talking about the hare. Now I can, yeah. You dropped out right as you were saying about the hare going down the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were shining lights on the hare going down this dirt road because we were headed to this other ranch. And he probably ran in front of us for, you know, a good 2 or 3 minutes. It was funny because he just wouldn't get off the road.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's probably about 20 yards in front of us. So, mm-hmm. You know, nature can be kind of entertaining, you know, I guess is my point.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yep. We used to go out sometimes down by the swimming pool, or not the pool, but the swimming hole in the creek, and everything else at night. And we were out in the country, so there were no city lights or anything like that. And it was always neat to kind of look at the stars and the landscape, especially at sunset and all. And it's like, you know, why would you go to an art gallery to watch the creations of some man's hands when creation itself is a tapestry right here in front of your face? Most people never even take the time to appreciate it or look at it. So wondrous world if we just open our eyes and minds to it and stop listening to all the BS and think that science brings it to us or the hands of man. And we're finding out, just like this whole COVID thing, it's most of the time it's just hype and misinformation and propaganda. It's not reality at all.
Yeah, it's all artifice, and you know, the sooner we can all figure that out, get back out on the land, physically interacting with one another, you know, touching, holding, hugging, that kind of stuff. There's not a lot of hope for, you know, the people in the future. We're made to interact with one another. That's just how God made us.
Right. Exactly. So basically ignore everything that people like Fauci and the government agencies and CDC are saying and do what the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father told us to do from the beginning, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying turn it all off and get back out on the lam. However, each individual has to do that, you know, however long it takes them. That's between them and Jehovah. But, you know, I'm starting now. It's like I want to get back out on the land and, you know, just hitchhiking and backpacking for years and years and years isn't enough. You know, I got to put roots down somewhere eventually.
Right. Any idea where that's going to be yet?
No, that'll be between Jehovah and me in the future. You know, I don't think I'm not going to know until after I'm full of the Holy Spirit again. And, you know, I don't know how long that's going to be. I've been in correction for, a good 7 years now. And, you know, I got sins that I got to deal with. Once I deal with these sins and the Lord corrects me, then, you know, then I'll have a better understanding of, you know, where I'm going to be in the future.
Okay. Very good. All right, bud.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we should get together, have another interview here in the future. I am writing another book called Hitchhacking, and it's hitchhiking and backpacking. And then I'm going to put Jerusalem with USA and red, white, and blue in the middle of Jerusalem. So it'll be Hitchhacking Jerusalem.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can do that.
I'll just give you a glimpse of it, and then I'll let you go here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a word, and then I'm going to define it how the Most High wants me to define it through all the dictionaries I've read since I was about 6 years old. And I'll define the word, like, let's say, faith. I'll give it a definition, and then I'm going to give it an experience of me walking in faith. And then I'll have another word, and I'll just keep doing that throughout the whole book.
Wow. When do you think
God
will
be helpful? Well, do you think God be helpful to our people?
I would think so, certainly.
Yeah, we got to get a language going here that we all understand.
Yeah. Yeah. When do you anticipate having it done?
I don't know. I've been working on it for about 17 years now, and the Lord's just now having me put it on paper, so I'm however long it takes. You know, it probably won't be till next year sometime. So, but I'm working on it now.
All righty. Well, when you're ready, you just let me know.
All right. I'm going to let you go. Have a good one.
Yep. You too. God bless. Thanks for calling in.
Yep. Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, ladies and gentlemen. Do we have any other callers? Let me... check the boards here. Hold on a second. There we go. Okay. No, looks like we don't. Okay, very good. So we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with each other. We pray that the words will go out to the ears that are meant to hear it. We also pray for all of those who suffer and are dealing with illnesses and setbacks, that you would send healing to them and encouragement. And lift us up and give us good discernment to see through all lies and deception and misinformation that's being dumped out there in total ocean of misinformation. We also have a famine for truth at this time, just as you said it would be. Utter chaos, evil being called good, good evil. Everything the prophets told us about is in front of our faces. So we also know that that is when you said, look up and know that your redemption is near. And so we ask again that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon that valley of dead and dry bones and awaken them so that we can become the true sons of the Most High and come together and fix the problems. We ask your forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings. We also ask that you would give us a stiff backbone and clear discernment, and also protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.